Welcome to a Fourth Wall Sidecast. This is number 11. I'm Jesse.
I'm John.
Yes, that's right. John is going to be my brother. John is joining us today. And we're going to be talking about E3. For those
that's
who
right.
don't know, E3 is the Electronic Entertainment Expo. It happens once every year in Los Angeles, California, usually at the Los Angeles Convention Center. I don't think they did it anywhere else.
I'm pretty sure it's been in the whole time.
Yeah. It's had a couple different variations, you know, kind of throughout the years. Like, a couple years ago, they tried to do it with less people. But I'm getting ahead of myself. It's basically a video game convention where game companies and all these media outlets for games come together in one place and show off their wares that they're going to be releasing in the next year. And it's basically where the next big thing in video gaming is going to be shown. Every year, it's usually a good bet that you're going to see some amazing stuff come out of the show floor. And luckily, we were able to go this past year. And I have a written article up about my impressions of games I played up at the main site, breaktheforthwall.com, where you can also hear our weekly comic book podcast, other sidecasts that we've done. We've done 10 others that range from different topics and other good stuff. So, yeah, check that out at the main site, breaktheforthwall.com. But right now, I just want to get into – we're not really going to – we'll talk about the games. This is like a free-form discussion. This is kind of different than the regular podcast if you've been listening. This is just a open forum where me and my brother will basically bullshit about going to E3. And, I mean, when did you first hear about E3? Like, how young were you when you heard about it?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I've actually heard about it through you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of pretty much how – as far as, like, I got to learn, hear about these kind of things, was through you, because you were the one who kind of ventured out and kind of discovered these things and brought it back to me, and I got into it and stuff. I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm a huge gamer. I'm more of a recreational gamer, I would say that. Like,
if you're around a crowd of people that play games, you'll probably play with them.
Yeah. I played Twisted Metal. What Twisted Metal was it?
We played the newest Twisted Metal, which was there was no number to the newest one.
Although
we played at E3?
Yes.
Yeah, that was just called Twisted Metal, because they're trying to do like a retro thing, kind of like what Mortal Kombat's going to do, where it's not going to have a number or surname, it's just Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, speaking of that, I just wasn't in Mortal Kombat. Like, so you couldn't play it. It wasn't open to.
No, it wasn't open on the show floor this year's E3 in 2010. It was behind closed doors, but we did. It was after you left, I think. We passed by the GameSpot booth, where the website GameSpot.com. Great website, by the way. You know, you can check out for reviews, videos. They have a bunch of E3 coverage if you want their take on it.
Mm-hmm.
They had the developers from Mortal Kombat there, and they were doing a live stage demo. And they were showing some stuff off. So we stopped, me and a few other people that I was with on the last day, on Thursday the 17th. We were there, and we stopped by and watched them, and they were just showing off some of the new features, like the tag system and the combo system that you can use when you tag people in and out. A lot like Marvel's Capcom.
Oh.
Right? Like, tag people in and out and do assist damage and stuff. And it also showed this new – it's weird. It was called like this X-ray thing where while they're fighting, you see an X-ray image of the other opponent. And like, say Kung Lao punches someone in the neck, you'll see like it goes into an X-ray view where it shows in detail like the person's neck and muscles all being fucking like broken and torn and all that.
It sounds kind of clunky.
It kind of like –
For one screen, for a lot going on. You know?
Well, the only thing that bothered me about that is when the X-ray sections came on, it seemed to slow down the action a little bit. Like, you'll be in the middle of fighting, and then all of a sudden it goes into this very cinematic, like, camera angle. And then it kind of goes in, and you see the X-ray imaging of whatever's happening, and then it cuts back out. But, I mean, if it doesn't happen a lot during a fight, it wouldn't be a big problem.
Right.
But if someone does it a lot, I can see it kind of getting annoying.
Well, hopefully it's something you can turn off.
Yeah.
On your settings. You
know? Yeah. I'm sure there is. Like, there's always a violent setting of some sort.
Right.
Like a blood.
I remember there being the old, THQ games, the wrestling games, the WCW versus NWO, or the most, you know, the WWE
64.
The 64 era, yeah, wrestling games that had like this replay function. When you would hit your opponent, really, you know, knock them down, it would go into this replay mode, which pretty much takes like 2-3 seconds, but it basically just kind of interrupts the game, which is kind of fun after a while. But, you know, if you're really into a match, it gets kind of repetitive and a bit, you know, really annoying. So, you know, ultimately, I hope for the developers' sake, Mortal Kombat, they would, you know, take that thing out. I mean, but how did it look? Did it look good?
It looks good. I mean, I was impressed by it. I want to see more. Maybe, hopefully, a demo will come out soon over Xbox, specifically for me. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, not a demo just for me. Like, fuck everybody else.
Yeah, just for you guys. Fourth wall exclusive?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that. Nice. I like but, that. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's go back to the convention itself.
Yeah, for a second. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, we were lucky enough to go this year, and I heard about it, I would say, oh, man. I think I heard about it when I was very young, because I've been playing games since I was 3 years old. Like, you know, that's when I think when
yeah,
we got
I
our first.
That.
Yeah. We got our first, like, Nintendo around then, I think. Or at least we played from grandma's, I think. I'm not sure.
We had started at our grandmother's house. She had, for some reason, had it in an NES system.
Yeah, I don't know why. I have no
idea. I don't know why, but she was okay at it. But you kind of took the controller.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just sat down and started playing Super Mario Brothers.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history. I've been playing ever since. And then I think I read about E3 through this was before we had a computer. I think I read it in GamePro because I used to have a subscription to that. I saw fucking issues.
That collection moved, like, I think to 3 different apartments before you decided to give it up. Like, just ridiculous. Like a trunk.
Oh, God. It was years worth of Game Informer. I mean, GamePro. Fuck Game Informer. Sorry. GamePro.
GamePro.
Very loyal to GamePro. And I had it for years. Eventually, like, it was at a point where I would look forward to it when I was younger, before the internet. I'd look forward to it every month because it would tell me what's coming out. And I think I've heard about E3 for the first time in one of those issues. And then finally, when we got a computer, I started going to GameSpot. That was, like, the first website I ever frequented, like, every day. That and Spider-Man hype at the time, for those of you who remember that. Back when the first Spider-Man flick was in production. But yeah, so you know how fucking hardcore into that side I was? When I was in fifth grade, we had a computer terminal in our homeroom.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, my final class was in the same homeroom, and they had one computer terminal. It was supposed to be used for, like, educational games and shit.
Right.
But you could go on the internet with it. So I went on the internet, like, whenever I was done with my work and the teacher fucking checked it off and said it was all good, I could go over to the terminal and go on the internet or play a game if I wanted to. And I would go on the internet and fucking go on GameSpot and read about stuff coming out. So, you know, that's, I think, the first time I heard about E3. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, my God, this seems like heaven, you know? It seems like a fucking place that when a gamer dies, this is where they go.
Yeah, it did seem like that.
And it seemed, at the time, so unattainable. You know what I mean?
It did. Like,
especially as I got older, I found how hard it is to get in. Like, how fucking inclusive E3 is. And for good reason. I mean, look at Comic-Con. That's the complete opposite.
Where, yeah, they just let anybody in. I mean,
well, don't say, hey, man, motherfucker, we're going to be covering Comic-Con. I'm sure a lot of people listening will be going to Comic-Con, so, you know.
I just want, you know, you're going there to scope it out this year, and then I'll go next year.
Yeah. No, Comic-Con's going to be very nice.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited for you. It's a dream come true. It's been a big year for you, especially with E3. So was it heaven for gamers?
I was lucky enough to get in through certain means, and I'm very thankful for it, for the people responsible. And the first day when I got there, I could just – first of all, I got there ridiculously early. Like, I didn't know that the show floor opened up at 12 in the afternoon.
I thought it was 10.
That's the day we went. It opened at 10.
Oh, I see.
But that day, because Nintendo and Sony's press conferences were going on, they wanted to wait till after Nintendo's was done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I guess, because of Zelda and stuff like that.
Right.
So, I got there early. Like, I got there at, like, 8 in the morning, like, when registration started. So I got my badge, and I was just like, Jesus Christ, what am I going to do for the next, you know, few hours? I wandered around. I went to both halls looking around. I waited in fucking a line for Starbucks for like an hour. You know, cause there was only one open. And
that's
so
right. There was like that the same one I went to when I went?
Yeah. Yeah, the line was much longer when I went on Monday or Tuesday. So it was worth it. It was really good. But I met some interesting people. It was there was a food court across from the West Hall where Nintendo, Capcom, and all them were. Right. So I sat down by myself just looking at things, texting people. Like, I remember I was talking to you and a couple other friends of mine and Ashley as well. Like, I was talking to her. And then just people would amass because no other seats were available, so they'd keep amassing at my table.
Right.
And I met some fucking just interesting cats. Like, one guy was – well, one guy brought two others with him.
Right.
So that was interesting. They were really nice people. They were game design students from Texas. Mm-hmm. So really nice guys. The one guy was looking for internships in video game companies, which I thought was kind of interesting because I don't know anything about that. I don't know the like internal works of video game companies that well.
The closest thing that I can think of that through, you know, is knowing a game designer was through school.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
That they had a game design program. And they were always kind of like a weird bunch.
Well, these cats were definitely like that. If you can think of what the game design students were like at our school, then you would kind of know. You kind of got the idea. Like,
right. I'll, not to paint them in a negative light.
No, not at all. They're very
it's
nice. Different.
It's just kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Very hardcore.
Very unique. Like the one guy I was talking to, he wore a fedora. So that gives you an idea.
Like that's more of like a Halloween. You wore a fedora for a while,
dude. I fucking rock a fedora. I you know what? It wasn't the type of fedora. It's hard to explain.
It's like the toy fedora you find like in the Indiana Jones like gift shop or whatever.
No, it's more like a fucking. It's a thinner. It's like a smaller fedora, not like the wide brim fedoras. It's like a.
It's like one of those stylish ones you find in the stores.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's like a Target.
Those are okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that bad.
Not bad.
He was interesting. He was an interesting cat. Very nice. They were all very nice, and it was just. It was interesting meeting because I didn't plan on meeting anybody there. I was just gonna walk around, you know. But they were very nice people.
The social butterfly you you are.
Fucking yeah, very. So I'm sitting there, and then I also meet a guy who's kind of press from a newspaper, from a school paper. So that kind of pissed me off, though.
That guy got a press from a
yeah,
school.
Yeah, that's what pissed me off. I was just about to
was
say.
Was it a high school or like a college?
No, for college.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
which is okay, but like when I went, because I wanted to go get a press pass. I didn't have time to register for it.
Right, right.
But I wanted to get a press pass, and I'm figuring next year when I look into it, it shouldn't be that bad. Because if a fucking school paper can get a media pass, then I don't think we're going to have a problem. We've been around for fucking years and always having content.
Yeah,
I want that fucking hospitality. They have like a hospitality area.
They do. That was kind of interesting too. It's like it reminded me of the Frequent Flyers Club.
If you've seen Up in the Air, you know
that little club where everyone kind of sits and they have they have beverages and
it's
know.
Like the Admiral's Club.
The Admiral's Club. That's
yeah,
what
yeah. That's what it's fucking like. You get like a nice little buffet. And,
food. That's right. I saw dudes hauling like those little buffet the things that hold the food on the buffet tables.
The little fucking metal domes and shit.
Yeah. I was wondering what that was. Like,
that was for the hospitality motherfuckers. Like if you have a media pass, you get and you get what they call fast pass. Fast pass is when you have appointments for certain game demos, so you don't have to wait in line.
It's like Disney.
Disney. You know what? E3 is kind of like a fucking theme park. I don't know if you got that feeling, but when I was there, especially waiting in lines, I swear to God, it felt like a theme park. And I worked in one. I know. I know the feeling.
So have I.
Yeah,
it's hot. I mean, it's not as hot. It's indoors.
It's indoors.
It's
yeah.
Well ventilated, that which is very nice, especially when it comes to like the gaming crowd. It's well ventilated.
Yeah.
No offense.
No, we're yeah, no, I get you.
Just
it was a little bit smelly by the end of the day. Yeah, I'll say that.
A little sweat, a little nerd funk.
It was more so me. I was sweating my balls off when I was there.
Yeah, I was a little bit too. Especially since like when you step outside, it was like 90 degrees.
Yeah,
helped the fact that there were Lakers people getting into the.
That's a whole other.
Across the street was the Staples Center, so as soon as you walked out, it was just a sea of people, like, in line for the game and everything. It just so happened when I left, that's when everybody started to amass, you know, toward the Staples
that's
Center.
A whole other thing.
It's kind of a pain in the ass to have my, because I had a, my wife had to circle the convention center a bunch of times because she picked me up. She dropped me off.
Yeah, picked me up.
You want to pay $12 for parking.
Well, yeah, and plus you didn't go to Video Games Live, which I'll mention a little bit.
Yeah,
as for the convention itself, when I got there that first day, I met all these interesting people. I was pissed off about the media pass that I didn't get one. But interesting cats. And then we get to where we notice there's a group of people waiting for the doors to open,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the first day at 12. So we head over there, and there's a picture up at the main site, breaktheforthwall.com. That door on my article, the very first picture, across from that is where that Capcom booth was. So I could see it. Like, the doors, you know, it was, I could see it. And I, people who fucking know this site very well know that we love Marvel vs. Capcom series here very well. Our Keep Thanos in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 petition is still there. But, so I see it, and I want to get the fuck over there immediately and start playing. So I'm up in front with these other gentlemen, and it's just so weird because you get the feeling like we were kind of off to the left a little bit, and the center door was like the one we would have to aim for. It felt like what I would imagine. I haven't been in this situation, but I would imagine it felt like Walmart on Christmas Eve or Black Friday. You know, that's the kind of feeling I got because I would turn around. And there's just a sea of people. Like, people were taking pictures above everyone else's head, and it'd just be a sea of fucking people. Like, it was like the zombie apocalypse. You know? So
trampling some. Were there any tramplings? I mean, well, I want to research to see if there are any known tramplings at E3.
At E3? I'm sure, like, the first, like, one of the bigger years. But this one, no, it wasn't that bad. The doors opened. The security guards who, you know, say what you will about them, but they did keep order during that situation. They had people walking calmly, getting over to wherever they needed to go. So I got over to the Capcom booth fine. I got to play Marvel vs. Capcom 3 for a long fucking time because I kept winning. Because the way they had it set up. I went 6-0. It was weird because the way they had it set up was they had a bunch of gaming stations. And you just go over there and you wait behind someone who's playing, which is like that with every game except for the big games. Like the big.
Right. Where there are like a line.
Which we'll get to in a sec.
Park ride line.
Yeah, like a theme park ride. So I get up there and I start playing, and I thought in the first fight I was going to get my ass kicked. But I was playing these new characters, and I found out that Dante from Devil May Cry is really fucking good. Like, he's really, really good. I got him very quickly. I understood his moveset, and I was good. And Captain America plays the same, and I've always fucking dominated with Captain America. So I was just destroying these people, and I left. I didn't get beaten. I just backed away so that other people could play.
Right.
But as I fucking left, the guy who had been periodically talking to me from Capcom, watching me play, was like, "Oh, man, that was pretty cool. You should go and compete in our tournament over there." I'm like, "Oh, really? What do you win?" He's like, "Oh, you win a t-shirt." I'm like, "Oh, that's cool. What do you have to do?" And he's like, "Oh, you just have to beat 5 people." I'm like, "Are you kidding? I just beat 6 of them right here. You watched me. Can you just give me a t-shirt?" And he's like, "No, I had to be on that line over there." And there was like a stage where you could play on. So I'm like, isn't that a bunch of bullshit?
Yeah,
like,
I just, and for being a good sport, you know what I mean? For just, you know.
I mean, you could have just been like, "Hey, you know what? That was cool. Here you go." You know, I mean, it was day one. Could they really not fucking just slip the t-shirt onto the side? Because I mean, I was there the longest out of anyone that was playing, even next to me, like on the next two consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not? I don't know. Why do I have to wait in a fucking line just to get a t-shirt?
Formality for the people who actually waited in line to participate in the tournament.
I don't know.
It would have been a cool t-shirt, I'll tell you that.
I saw it. It wasn't that great.
All for a t-shirt. They protect their t-shirts. I remember in this, well, when we get to the Zelda line, that they had their t-shirts under lock and key.
Yeah. They had people guarding the fucking t-shirts.
They had a guard assigned to the t-shirts.
Yeah. It was like the 3D DSs, which were strapped to fucking belts of women.
Yeah, I don't know. It was quite humorous when they first had, introduced it. And I had watched all the press conferences.
Yeah, I was there. I couldn't see them that first day, so I didn't know. I didn't know they had announced GoldenEye. I had no fucking clue.
Oh, okay. But it's kind of interesting how they brought the girls. Like, so that, well, the speaker did a whole presentation, and they got to the 3DS, and basically they said, "Oh, can you see it?" the 3D effect today? Yes. And how it worked was they introduced like these kind of these models, but kind of like in nerd friendly attire, not souped up, not the kind of models you see at a car show, but I would say like, you know, professional.
Right.
I can't really paint a picture with words that easily, I guess, when it comes to this. But anyway.
Which is pretty awful since we're doing an audio podcast.
I know.
So that's pretty fucking bad that you can't paint in words.
You were there. You saw.
Yeah, I saw. I mean, it was basically cocktail waitresses for nerds.
I wouldn't say they're.
Well, think it was like a. It reminded me of a casino.
Revealing gear or anything like that. They weren't like.
They're wearing skirts. I think.
Yeah, just as kind of like, hey, you know, very subtle looking.
It wasn't hoary. I wasn't saying they were like fucking partial.
Nah, that would have worked. That would have.
No, that would have. I would have waited
on Nintendo's marketing. That would have been genius on their end. I think they would have. But anyway, so they had, you know, obviously for the power cord, but they were strapped to the girls. They had a belt that basically supplied the power for the 3DS. And I presume it's a security measure because, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, what I've got wise is grab and kind of run off. I doubt you'd get very far, but I'm sure they just take the extra precaution.
Right. I mean, I didn't see the point. That's one line I didn't see the point in waiting in because from what we learned from another person when we were waiting in line for Zelda, like, you couldn't even really do anything.
Very nice French doctor.
Very nice French guy. Yeah.
Very nice guy.
Yeah. And, it was funny because he was talking to someone behind us when we first got in that line, and we're like, this fucking guy is weird. Like, oh, this is odd. But he was talking to the creator.
Why was he weird?
No, it was just like we got in line, and he just kept looking behind us. But we found out later he was talking to the creator of Star Fox. So we were the fucking...
He had to wait in line.
Yeah, he had to wait in line for Zelda.
He had to wait in line.
We'll get to that. So right. Basically, my impression of my solo time at E3 was, yeah, it was everything I thought it would be and more. It really, E3 is made by the fucking games that are on display there. You know what I mean? That's what makes it for me. Or anyone, I would think, you know? Because if the games suck or if there's nothing really to look forward to, then it's going to be a crappy year because what are you going to do? Because basically all it is, especially for someone like me who's a fan, it's going there and trying out games that are going to be released in the near future, but that are, you know, making strides in the gaming community, that are going to be big, whatever. It gives you an opportunity to test them out and tell people about it. And, I mean, it's a show for vendors, yes, but it's also a show for fans.
And for free swag. Tons of, like...
Tons of free swag. Shit. You got me a free bag.
Yeah, I actually sport this thing at work now.
He got me a free bag, even though I had already gotten it.
Nyko? N-Y-K-O? They do peripherals?
Yeah. I already have enough fucking bags, though, sir. It's fine. Thank you for getting
it. I'm getting it.
Yeah. I was playing...
Oh, I dug it.
Yeah, I was playing GoldenEye at the time, I remember.
I was leaving, and then I ran and grabbed you a bag. I was like, here you go, man. Knowing that you're going to be there the whole fucking day, I could just say, hey, man, they're over there. I was like, oh, you have the free bags. Two very nice ladies and garbed in... which should have been the Nintendo... preference of attire,
right?
For their spokespeople for the DS, but no, very 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 polite, and they handed me the two free bags.
Oh, that's very nice.
Oh,
thank you to random ladies from the Nyko
models. Yeah, which is kind of weird. You can see the girl, like, well, finish your.
All right, what I was gonna say, my impression of the show after wondering for so many years, finally getting there. Dreaming and finally aspiring to get to this place, and I'm there. It was really fun. I had a lot of fun. I think it was helped more by the games and on Thursday by the people I was with. The waiting in lines kind of sucked, but it was worth it when I got to the end. And honestly, like, this moment kind of hit me after we were leaving the final day. Like, how many people in the fucking world can say they've been here? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you were there. I was getting tired on Thursday because I was running on very little sleep during the week because I was, you know, I'd been there almost all day on Tuesday. I had to go on this production shoot on Wednesday, and then Thursday, again, early day, on my feet all day on Thursday, you know? So I was tired. And it was starting to drain on me near the end because we lost our group that we were with, even though they were standing right in fucking front of us for like 10 minutes before we realized.
Your cell phone had died on you.
Yeah, my cell phone had died, so I couldn't contact them. But we'll get to that in a second when we talk about your experience there.
Oh, for sure.
But, Yeah, I mean, it was everything I thought it would be, and it didn't, like, lose any of its luster. Yeah, it didn't lose any of that, even though I was getting tired on the day three.
It showed. It was wearing, you know, but you were holding up good. You were holding up well.
Yeah, and I'd seen – it picked up later in the day after you left, actually, because we actually started playing multiplayer games.
Of course.
Like, we played, like Medal of Honor and fucking Killzone 3 and shit. We were sitting down playing games and having fun. And that's really the spirit of E3 is having fun. Especially Nintendo, I think, nailed that spirit this year.
For sure. Oh,
hey, fucking, I think, you know, because they can't compete with the big boys. Nintendo can't compete with Sony and Microsoft in the aspect of hardware.
You know what I think? I think it's more or less Nintendo kind of knowingly stepping out.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, they know that they can't compete on a technical aspect with those two beasts.
I think they choose not to. They can blow out of the water. They can do the hardcore stuff, but I think they more focus on the more entertaining, the fun aspect.
What they're doing is they are stepping back and saying, okay, what do we do best? We do these things best. All right, let's make the things we do best even better. And that's what they're doing this year. You know, they're re-releasing titles that everyone loves. I mean, who would hate GoldenEye? Who would hate Donkey Kong? You know what I mean? Like, who are going to hate these titles? What's that?
Zelda. Who would hate Zelda?
Yeah, who hates Zelda? Mm-hmm. So all these things are taking a step back, and they're actually going forward at knowing what they are and staying true to it. And that, I think, is how it's going to get them out of the little rut they've been in, you know, for the past, few months. So I think, honestly, the most games I was excited about as a whole was Nintendo's, because they have a lot of potential. Though I am excited about Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I'm excited about a bunch of stuff for Microsoft, you know, and Sony. There are a couple things for Sony that not much, but a little. Move. I don't know. Honestly, I was thinking about this the other day. I might pre-order my Kinect very soon, in the next few days.
I'm thinking about one of these days actually throwing a little cash down for the Kinect. I probably won't pre-order it. I think I'm all pre-ordered out.
iPhone.
My wife and I, we actually got through and managed to pre-order our iPhones.
Stupid. Waste of time. I'll see the allure.
I can't wait, dude.
You wouldn't. See, the iPhone to you is the Kinect to me. Because when I got to play it, I did get to play it at E3, and it was, you know, it did everything as advertised. It worked.
Really?
Yeah, it worked. It was very responsive. People were saying, oh, there's a little bit of lag, but honestly, it didn't affect me while I was playing.
Right, right. Well, it said that the body heat travels. That's why.
Yeah, there's a little trail of body heat. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so, what it comes in.
So it's not that bad. I had a lot of fun. I could see the potential in it. Out of everything at E3 besides Marvel vs. Capcom 3, that's the one surefire bet I can throw my money at right now. Like, if it was released today, I'd buy it.
Cool.
Like, hands down. That Marvel vs. Capcom 3, without question, I would buy.
Oh, for sure. Okay. Wait a minute. Now, what platform would you get Marvel vs. Capcom 3? Xbox?
Oh, 360. Hands down. Better online community, and I know more people that would, you know, play it on the 360.
Right, compared to your friends who own a PS3, compared to...
I know three people who own a PS3, but none of them play games on it. Freddy, who is our co-host on the Fourth Wall podcast, he has a PS3, but he only uses it for Blu-ray. Go, Freddy. Raymond, my other friend, he is going to get Twisted Metal, but until then, you know, he's not going to fucking do anything with it. So...
Yeah, I think Microsoft would come in second when it came to the best performance.
Oh yeah, they definitely came in a strong second.
With the new 360.
New 360, which was very sexy, I will admit.
Mostly quiet too.
Quiet. We played on it for a little bit. You know, it was very quiet. You put your hand on it, which was very odd.
It's got a. There were these little vents.
You wanted to feel the vent.
I think was probably a very smart move on their part. So now there will be no. I mean,
well, you do read about that. The system cannot physically have a red ring of death. They took out the red lights.
It doesn't. It's not built in. So basically, it'll just shut down, and you want to know what the hell happened.
Yeah, you'll just have to send it back and say it's not working.
Why the red ring of death? I mean, it's got a good rep. You know what I mean? It tells you something's wrong.
Hey, if I didn't have my current console, I'd buy that one. I tell you that right now.
I bought one last Christmas, so.
Maybe Christmas I'll upgrade. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I'm with mine still fairly new. I mean, I, for the most part, have a few games for my Xbox.
Which you never played.
I play once in a while, but I'm very excited about the lineup they have coming out this holiday.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff, you know.
I'll buy, you know. And yeah, one of which I was kind of disappointed with and I wasn't able to play was The Force Unleashed 2.
Yeah, that was behind closed doors, unfortunately.
Oh, but it was playable.
I think it was playable, but it was that and Old Republic. I wanted to play that, but it was behind closed. The MMORPG coming out, which I am debating getting a lifetime subscription to already, even though the game is, I have not played it yet. I'm trying to get into beta, but
I've been looking into something like, you know, for an online kind of game that I want to jump onto, you know.
It's not coming out until next year either, so it's got time. I can read more about it and say
I can stew on it.
Yeah, you can stew on it, definitely.
For sure.
But overall, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think this was a fucking amazing year to go. Because for me, anyway, we'll get to your experiences in a second.
Uh-huh.
But like for me overall, great year because there was the 3DDS. Even, I didn't want to see it, but at least it was there. You know,
it was there.
In the same building as that fucking thing, and
you were actually a wall over from the 3DS.
For those who weren't there, there was next to Capcom and Nintendo. Yeah, a lot of people
who weren't there. So basically, paint the picture.
There was a fucking wall. There were walls set up sanctioning off the 3DDS showroom where the people were with the fucking money belts, with the fucking...
The change belts?
The chastity DDS belts that they
had. There you go. That's perfect.
That's better. They were in there, and they were kind of elevated up, so you couldn't just, like, walk over and look in. You had to wait in line, which stretched around the Nintendo booth all the way around.
And the ever-growing 3DS line. The line kept moving.
People would get confused. They'd keep, like, accidentally getting into the Zelda line because it was right next to it. The Zelda line was really long. We waited for about an hour to play Zelda, which was fucking well worth it, in my opinion. I love Zelda.
The gameplay, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll cover that in a second, but, yeah. Like, your experience. Like, overall, like, a dream come true.
Yes. Yeah, I would say, yeah. I'm gonna try and go again next year, and hopefully I'll be able to get in. But I just hope there's some cool shit to see. Stuff that was missed, definitely the ones that we mentioned that were upstairs or only behind closed doors. I would have liked to have seen Kingdom Hearts 3.
Do you pay for that?
No, you had to have an appointment. So you had to make an appointment with like some rep. You know, there's like these tables, like a receptionist desk at every booth.
Right.
Basically, you go up to that, and if you're media, you just go like, hey, I want to make a meeting with so-and-so from whichever game, and then they set you up. Or even if you're an exhibitor, if you try hard enough, I think you can get if you have a professional pass, you can probably get an appointment.
How much does that cost?
I don't know. Being an exhibitor?
Oh, being an exhibitor, I mean, like, just, like the next step, you know what I mean? From not just, you know, being, you know, from just going from the floor to the Admiral's wing or whatever.
Oh, you just have to have a media badge.
I see. That's what else to it.
Yeah. So, like, if you had a media badge, you can get into all the fucking party spots, which I really don't care about. But I have a funny story about that when I was waiting in line for Kinect. I'll talk about it now. Fuck it. I waited in line for Kinect, and this is the most Disney-esque line, in my opinion. Because this is how it works. For Kinect at Microsoft, they had built their own little, like, fucking glass container thing, chambers.
Yeah, so what you can try out.
So look in and see the people playing Kinect.
Yeah.
And it was indoors. They had built their own little shit. And on top of it was their Microsoft party area, which I thought was funny. So I'm waiting in line, a really long line. Because you can play for as long as you want, basically, when you're inside the little tube. So I'm waiting in line, and I'm waiting in front of these two guys. And one of them had to be 19 years old, if not a little, maybe younger. He definitely was over 18, but... He was just this 19-year-old jittery, weird kid, right? And a really laid-back kind of, overweight guy, the best way to say it. It was like the reverse of Jay and Silent Bob, kind of. Because the big guy talked a lot. But he was very monotone, down to earth. He always looked like he was stoned, kind of. And the little guy, well, actually, he was kind of like Jay. He was just very, like, hyped up on crack almost.
Off the wall.
Very jittery, very, like, and his sentence, you know, didn't make sense sometimes because he spoke so fast. Or he's one of those people, they worked for something doing coverage of games, but, like, the one guy I was talking to, the one who was on crack, he really didn't know that much about games, though. So I found it kind of odd that he didn't know much. They were from Florida, which, I thought was funny. So we're in line and for the Kinect, and the one guy, the big guy, keeps asking about parties. He's like, oh, man, I got to get into a party tonight. Oh, you know where any of the parties are at? He's asking me. You know where any of the parties are at? And I'm like, no, dude, I don't know. He's like, oh, man, I tried to pay $500 to get into a party. I'm like, oh, okay, that's a shame. I'm sorry. So basically that was – I heard that for like 30 minutes, him complaining that he couldn't get into a party. And then people would get in line behind me. Like another media group got in behind me, really nice people. I can't remember exactly where they're from. I'd give them a shout out, but I don't remember exactly what site they were from. I know there was a couple people from Newsarama there. They were really nice. But like the guy, the big guy, kept walking over them like, hey, you guys know where any of the party's at? And just kept asking everyone where the fuck.
What was he expecting?
That's the point of the story is, do some people come to this event expecting it's just a fucking party after party after? It's not like the Oscars.
It's
you
not.
Know?
Like, yeah, it's I mean, not, I'm sure there are conventions out there. Like for example, what my Dragon Con experience, there were parties. It was because it was in a hotel. People. Parties going on different rooms. Not the kind of party I think that he was looking for.
He was looking for big industry, like, fuck parties. You know what I mean? Like, after parties. And he's like, where are the after parties tonight? Where are the
after parties? I really haven't, like, I don't think they do that there.
They do. There's some, but they're not, like, there's, like, Activision had a huge fucking party with, like, Eminem and shit. Like, a live stage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. They had a big, it was probably at Nokia Live. I don't know where it was at, but they had a big party. But the big companies have parties, but... You know, this guy is funny. He's like, yeah, I tried to pay $500 to get in. I couldn't do it. $500, they used to get you, you know, anywhere. And it was just funny that, like, how most people think when they come to these things, especially in Los Angeles. When you get into Los Angeles, it's almost you expect to, like, get into a party anywhere. You know what
or
I mean?
Look to get into a party or have this perception.
I mean,
it exists, but it's not rampant, you know what I mean? Especially at a gaming expo. Then again, I could be wrong, you know.
We don't know. Yeah, I'm not in that, you know, line of life where I'm looking for parties and shit. But it was just funny that I had to wait in this line
with these people, but I'm sure that helped.
That took me through the most it took me like a fucking queue line like at a theme park. Like we went inside this little tent. And there were videos playing, and fucking the new Xbox 360s were on display.
Nice.
And shit. Like, I thought fucking Mickey was going to come out and, like, do a little instructional video on how to sit down on the lap bars, you know, and put your seats on, you know. I thought I was going to see that. But once I got into the room with Kinect, it was very fun. Enough for me to want to buy it. Like, I want to pre-order it as soon as I can.
I think we're going to get it because, you know, it's basically how to navigate through Xbox Live is the flip of, you know, the flip of
that's
your hand.
That's kind
of
cool.
And that's kind of cool, like no controllers or nothing like that, because that's the one thing. But when we go ahead and we watch our Netflix, through our Xbox, you know.
Yeah, same
like,
here.
Cause, and then the controller shuts down after, like, maybe 10 minutes.
So then you got to hold the fucking button.
You got to restart the button and stuff like that. Exactly.
So I will say, for some games with Kinect, if it is compatible with certain games, you have to have something in your hands. Like, I couldn't play every game without a peripheral of some kind in my hands. Like, I can't play a first-person shooter on Kinect without a peripheral for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there has to be something.
Well, didn't I hear that they were selling, like, basically, like,
props? Well, I saw, I don't know if it was for Kinect, I just passed by it. There was this third-party vendor, because there's a lot of third-party vendors there. I saw one third-party vendor selling, like, M16 peripherals for the Xbox 360, and they were playing Modern Warfare 2 using the, like, assault rifle peripheral. Was it for Kinect? I don't know. It could have been. But, I just thought it was interesting. Like, that kind of thing I would need, you know?
Well, that was Sony's big smear campaign thing as well. They're just basically like...
Yeah, but the move, I played the fucking move, and honestly, there's nothing...
Yeah, how was that? Get to the move. Let's see. What was the move?
I mean, I only got to play one title for it, and it was a horrible title. it was like a shopping cart fuck game. Like, you're downhill.
Right. I saw that in passing.
Well, it's stupid. And it was not a good representation. I wanted to play the fight game, the fist fighting game.
Right.
So then I could really test my range of motion. I could move my arms around. I could stand in different places and see if it actually worked, test it out. But this, I didn't really get an opportunity. So it could have been just bad choice in testing, but I don't know. It's just a Wiimote. Like, honestly.
A Wiimote with, like, a little.
Holy fuck.
Like a sex toy.
It is like a sex toy. I can see people using it in sex toys when it comes out.
The round kind of ball on the tip that lights up, because that's basically.
It's like the Harry Potter broomstick thing all over again.
Yeah, you wait and see. I will be the first who called it. Anyway, but I think that it's just because how it works is that it follows the light, has a heat sensor, a light sensor.
Well, yeah, there's the eye, the PlayStation Eye is hooked up to the PlayStation 3, and then it tracks the ball and its motion so that you can move it in any direction or any axis, and it will be tracked by the fucking eye and the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically the idea around it, which is, again, like the, you know, Wiimote. It has more range of motion than the Wiimote, but it's still the same thing.
It's the same basic thing. And then I find it interesting that it's Microsoft's and Sony's big thing this year, you know, since the Wii kind of revolutionized that corner of the market. And I think they still do to this point. I mean, we'll see it come this holiday. But I don't know. I just feel that, you know, for something, you know, comparably to the Xbox 360 and the PS3 compared to the Wii, it's rather primitive.
Yeah, I mean... unless they do something really fucking amazing with it. Like, if they made a God of War game,
using
the move, holy shit, that would get my attention.
And it seems like they're only, like, theme games, you know? Like,
Xbox is, they're subject to that as well. I mean, the only games that they had for Kinect were the gimmick games,
Like, you jump around.
Fucking Wii Sports, the gimmick games, you know,
the
same
Kinect
thing.
Sports, they're all, like, weird, wacky. But with Nintendo, it's kind of integrated into the gameplay. Like, for example, Zelda.
Yeah, let's talk about Zelda real quick.
All right, so are we on to my day?
Yeah, let's go to your day. Tell me what you thought about E3. Go.
I was excited. I'm pretty much, I mean, comparably to you, I mean, you've been looking for this for a while, and it just so happened I was fortunate enough to get in there when I did. But it was kind of a last-minute detail. But when I got there, you know, I thought it was amazing. I had brought my flip cam, which I've taken some video of the convention. I wish I had gotten more, but it may actually turn up to be around, like, 30 seconds, like a 30-second montage. I'll throw, like, a music bed over it. And
sounds really, really gay. But,
well, I was going to suggest that I put it on the site, but...
I will put it on the fucking site. No. I'll put it on the site. I can always re-edit it if I don't like it.
Right. Oh, of course. anyway, so that was... It was amazing. It was a great feeling to be there, you know? I think the moment where it hit me is when the doors opened up to the main hall and you just walk in, which I wish I had the camera rolling at that point.
You mean going up the escalator and shit? And...
The escalator shot and, well, no, also like walking into the hall under the big sign.
Yeah, welcome to the E3 convention.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like when they opened it up, like with a whole crowd of people moving in, I tried to do a reshoot and it didn't really work out the same way because you had like the wave of people coming in and stuff like that. But I think the first thing, because there was already a line, already a big crowd toward the Marvel vs. Capcom 3 section.
Mm.
So we had went right to this other line. Like at that point, I was just having you show me around so I can get...
Because I kind of vaguely knew the area well enough that... Because it's not huge. I mean, it's big, but the actual halls themselves, you can walk around. If you walked around in a circle, you get it done in like 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, if you didn't stop and look at anything, they're not that big. Like, I'm assuming Comic-Con's going to be a lot bigger. But it's just knowing where to go at what times. Like, Zelda, the reason why we went there first, and it was my suggestion, was because when I had been there on Tuesday, it was a lot longer, that line. It was, all the way to Capcom, the line for fucking Zelda. So
if you're just paint the picture, it's pretty long.
Very long. It's very long. So... the Capcom booth is around the corner from where Zelda was, like, pretty well away.
The whole Nintendo section, actually.
It's, like, separated by the Nintendo section, which is already, like, you know, very, very wide across. So it's a pretty long line. I'll say we waited for an hour. about.
I'm gonna say that maybe less than an hour with a nice French doctor.
Fucking don't question me. It was like a fucking hour. It was like 45 minutes to an hour.
That's what I mean. Like a little less than an hour, 45 minutes maybe. But it was fun. It was good. At one point I wasn't like, oh my god, this is unbearable. Though it was the first thing we saw, but I was just kind of still hyped to be there. It was kind of cool. It was really cool. And that way I kind of got to see things. And then when we actually got into play Zelda, like, well, what were your thoughts on?
Like, when we got in, like, I was, like, looking around. And, like, I didn't know much about it on Tuesday, so I went home on Wednesday when I finally got home. And I looked at it.
Yep.
And I saw that it had the cell shading type textures, like Wind Waker, and how it looked all fucking – I love the art style of it.
Right.
Because the art style really popped, especially in those HD TVs, and it's very colorful, unlike Twilight Princess, where it was kind of dark.
Mm-hmm.
This one's very bright and colorful, and it has that cell shading technique that was used, like I said, in Wind Waker, and it makes it look really good. So when you get up to play, it really, really stood out. But it was funny because we were in line, we were talking to that French guy, which was good. He was a good guy. And we got up to the front. All I wanted, really, like, I wanted to play the game, but I really wanted that fucking T-shirt. Like, that was really the main motivation.
Under lock and key.
Yeah, that was the main motivation for me going to Zelda immediately. Because I wanted to play it, but I really wanted that fucking T-shirt. So when the guy gave it to me, I immediately went to go put it in my bag. But I guess they use that as reference to see that you wait.
Yeah, you haven't played the game yet. You have to go, that tells everyone that,
So, like, I went to go put it in my bag. He's like, oh, no, just keep that on your shoulder.
Very happy guy. Very,
very happy dude. Yeah, I was very, I'm like,
to be there.
Yeah. But sure not the same.
No, actually.
Not the same for my actual attendant at the screen. I had a young woman who had to be early 20s at my, when I finally.
Like, everyone was early 20s in that place.
Yeah. When you actually get to the end of the line, going to the tent where Zelda is, and where they have all these nice big HDTVs where you can play it on, there's always a Nintendo attendant right next to it to show you what to do or
just
talk.
In case you don't know how to play the game. Or
whatever. Yeah. So I get up there, and I go to start playing, and I wanted to test a few things out. Like, I wanted to test out the whip, I wanted to test out the new stuff, and, stuff like that.
Right.
So she was standing there, and you can obviously tell she didn't want to be there. You can obviously tell she didn't know much about Zelda. She probably just worked for Nintendo in a different capacity. Who knows? She may have been a volunteer or some shit.
Oh, I'm sure, like, they are. I'm sure most of them are. They're basically just, like, a day hire, or like a weekend hire.
Yeah, and she was, So she was like, oh, no, don't do that, and then, do that, and then you can hit this button, and then you do that, and you just, you got it, That was basically the entire time, and it was bringing down my experience a little bit. Oh, I was like, fucking A, like, I'm just trying to enjoy New Legend of Zelda, and instead I'm getting this fucking person over here just like, go back. I hate fucking backseat gamers as is. But I really hate, like, people who...
Is that the official name, the backseat gamer?
Yeah, backseat gamer. That's when you... I've done it a lot as well, I think.
Oh, so have I.
Yeah, the biggest one, I think, was with Freddy when he was playing Bioshock. Remember that? When we were at the old apartment?
Yes.
And I fucking just started yelling. I just, for those who don't know, Freddy was playing Bioshock at one point, and I just was screaming at him where to go. Just like, you're going the wrong fucking way, idiot! And it was just, it was really funny, but it's a very good example of backseat gaming. It helped. Hey, he was able to get through the game eventually with my help. My tutelage. I should sell a DVD series of,
how to play games.
How to play games with Jesse. It's just me.
Podcast.
It's fucking me screaming at you while you play, and I can charge like $40 an hour.
And you can instruct them when break the controller.
Yeah, when you lose, just chuck that fucking controller against the wall, and then, take it back to where you bought it and say, it came like that. You open the box, and there you go, it was shattered.
It's shattered.
So, there you go. But yeah, the game itself was fun. I really like Zelda. I'm really looking forward to it. That's another one I'll buy day of. I'll pre-order it right now if I could. Like,
good. That means I can borrow it off you once it's all...
Yeah, if you don't want to buy it, you can just, bum it off me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the gameplay was amazing. Because it's basically, I saw the press conference for the, via GameSpot.
Yeah.
For the, how the gameplay would work on Legend of Zelda. And, unfortunately, I thought it was kind of funny how the, for all that didn't see the press conference, when they were getting to the point where they're displaying the different features of the, the new Zelda game, the gameplay specifically, there was interference apparently between the Wiimote and the Wiimotes in the game, and basically it just basically kind of put a little damper down, more akin to, it's like akin to the Steve Jobs fiasco, not a fiasco, but like, you know, how we had to basically like badger the audience and tell them that, you know, turn off your computer so we can, you know, so I can show you the stuff on the
yeah,
app,
yeah,
you know what I mean? But you know, when I played it, I had a blast. Like, it was so, I mean, coming from like a more of a recreational gamer, you know, it's like a very pick up and play mentality. You know, the Wiimote gets the sword, the nunchuck is the shield, and it's very easy to play, very easy to pick up and play.
Like, yeah, and the Wiimote actually, unlike Twilight Princess, where you have to, you just wiggle the fucking Wiimote to swing your sword, you actually have a range of motion. You can swing
exactly.
Diagonally and horizontally and vertically.
Now,
so
with that, being said, you need the Wii Motion Plus.
Yes, you do. You do need the Wii Motion Plus, but I'm sure they'll sell a bundle where Zelda comes with it. I think most people who have a Wii, though, have a Wii Motion Plus.
I don't have a Wii Motion
Plus. I do.
You do?
I bought it by itself. It's $20 by itself. I just picked it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Which leads me to another funny little fact. You were mentioning how, you know, the number of people who dream about going to this convention compared to the people who actually get to go. I was walking the floor. I think we're over on the Microsoft hall or wherever.
Yeah, we're in the West Hall, yeah.
And I walked past somebody, and I knew I had seen this person before, and I had talked with this person, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, it wasn't someone that I had seen on TV or had seen on, you know, or that aspect. But I saw this person, I spoke to this person, and by this couldn't pinpoint who he was and where I had known him from. And it wasn't until later on that day when I got home, and it's when at night we went to go get something to eat, and down the place where we're eating, down a few stores over, there's this game store, this independently run game store. I do not know the name of the game store, but I'll be sure to put a plug in when I do. Great game store in Glendale.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hit me, it's the guy who works at he worked at the game store.
Right.
He was the guy who worked behind the counter and stuff like that. And I had a conversation with him because I had traded some games with him and had some questions about some stuff with him. And that was him. I saw him in passing. I was like, oh, it's kind of weird. I mean, what a coincidence. You know what I mean? That he, I mean, I'm sure he must have gotten in somehow, like, you know, through work and stuff like that. But I thought that was kind of funny how I'd ran into him, you know, of all people, you know, because you were telling me how, you know, it's such a rare thing, which it still is. But
it's rare to run into people. Like, on both days, there were people that I know of that were there, like the guys from Geekscape.net, they were there.
Really?
I saw him in the cafeteria, like Jonathan. Like,
yeah.
I saw him when we were getting food, but I was so pissed off about the fucking cafeteria that I didn't even did you hear about that fiasco? What happened was at the cafeteria in the convention center, they have different things you can choose, and one of them's like a grill thing where you can get burgers and chicken and shit. So I'm waiting in line, and basically it's like, do you want chicken? It's like that fucking thing where you only have two choices, like soup or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like super bread type thing. You're like, chicken or hamburger? Like, they don't even give you a second to answer. Like, someone was in my face the second I was in the line. Like, and the woman had already had chicken in her hands. She's like, chicken? You want chicken? I'm like, okay, sure. So I get it, and there's only three pieces of fucking chicken tenders in there. Three strips of chicken. That's it.
Like, big strips? Like, are we talking like
No, like not huge, but moderate size. Three not huge, big fucking ones. I wouldn't have cared then. Three moderate size of chicken strips. And then, like, a big shit ton of fries. But, I didn't know how much they cost, so I didn't even say anything. But I looked up at a sign, and it said $8.
Exclusive $8. E3 coverage, the food.
Yeah, the food of E3. Fucking $8 for three pieces of goddamn chicken.
Man, come on, it's like...
Three pieces! Like, I can get 20... at fucking McDonald's for less than that shit.
That's not real. I wouldn't call that chicken.
Oh, don't. I'm sure this isn't fucking real chicken either. You know? But $8.
I was very happy with that. I had no qualms with the LA Convention Center or...
Well, they fucking qualmed me, man. Like, it wasn't... I didn't ask for trouble. They were the ones who charged $8 for three pieces of chicken.
Dude, like any convention that we've been to. And I think
$8?
Two of us. We've been through... Yeah. They charge you on the leg, especially during a big event like that. I had fun.
T-shirts were moderately priced.
$15 for a t-shirt?
That's not bad. That's what Old Navy fucking charged for t-shirts. Like, I was happy with that, but now $8 for chicken. God damn it.
Yeah, it was good. I got, you know, I didn't really pay for, I mean, the food, that was the only thing I paid for, but everything else is free. Wonderful and free.
Yeah.
Wonderful and free. My wonderful free t-shirt. Wearing right now, by the way. As I mentioned.
Yeah, I'm wearing my Power Gig t-shirt, which we didn't get to play.
Nice. Is it a fun game, Power Gig?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, Rock Band kind of stole their thunder because they announced the same fucking thing at the show. They basically stole from them, which I thought was funny. Because I heard about Power Gig at GDC, the Game Developer Conference, which happened months ago. And I didn't hear anything about fucking Rock Band 3 back then. So I think Rock Band may have saw the competition and literally just stole what they were working on.
Rock Band, you know, it's like,
but I love Rock Band. That's the thing. Like, I don't want to. I'm not shit talking them too bad. I'm just saying, like, it's very much a coincidence that Rock Band is doing something very similar to these guys who've been around a little bit longer than before Rock Band announced their guitar peripheral, like the real guitar, whatever. But I'm gonna get both probably anyway. So who gives a shit? They're gonna get my money. What do they care? Overall, though, real quick before we end this, Fist of the North Star. You finally got to play a game. You love Fist of the North Star.
I do.
Big fan of that.
I am.
For those who don't know, it's an anime, manga. Fucking been around for a very long time.
Very long time, yeah.
Yeah. Look it up if you don't know what it is. It's fucking amazing.
It's funny. My Facebook profile pic, I got quite a few comments from that. You know, there's a picture of me at the Fist of the North Star booth, the section that they were just putting the game on display and everything. They had a standing, probably an actual size statue of Kenshiro, the main character of the series.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get a picture. Like, the moment I saw him, like, you know, give me, Jesse, get a picture of this. I want this. This is going to be awesome. And I tried to figure out, like, what pose should I do? And so, for those who don't know, like, Kenshiro is nicknamed the man with the seven scars. For the seven scars he has on his chest. So I went ahead and, you know, kind of put my finger, because basically the show is basically through, you know, there's a martial art that he uses through pressure points. And so what I was doing is applying a pressure point to him, and everyone on my my Facebook thought that I was like you know, poking his chest or something like that.
Oh, yeah, the first couple seconds you went up there, I thought you were poking his nipple. I'm like, why would you do that?
I was applying a pressure point.
Okay, yeah, that's what they call it nowadays.
10 seconds. You would have been dead in 10 seconds.
Ten seconds. Exploded. What did you think of the game, though?
Huh? The game? It was fun.
You didn't get to play as Kenshiro, though.
Unfortunately, no. There were, I guess, through certain levels, you play as certain characters, because I know that you had to...
You can choose at the beginning. No, you can choose at the beginning who you want to play as.
Oh, I see.
In the demo, anyway.
Oh, I see. Well, okay.
You're
well,
playing as the...
I couldn't quit the game, or I couldn't quit the demo. So what I did was just, you know, just suck it up and play it as a character. But I got to play Kenshiro, and the gameplay is pretty fun. It's basically, I mean, when I was told there was going to be a Fist of the North Star game, I was under the impression that it was going to be for the Wii, where it's basically like similar to the arcade machine, which is, if you can find it, play it. It's amazing. It's an experience in itself. Where you know, face, it's like a first person perspective where you go out and you just encounter your opponent and just kind of, you know, beat out, you know, the match all of, like, the movement. That's why I figured it'd be for the Wii and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the martial arts, it's about quickness and trying to get to outdo your opponent and apply the pressure points specified, which is not like that. It's kind of like a free roaming kind of beat 'em up game.
It's basically like, you know, Devil May Cry, shit like that, God of War. You just wander around, beat the shit out of people, and that's it. Well, which is fun. It is fun.
I love that. Most people do. Some people do the games, the puzzles and stuff like that, you know, for good brain teeth, which I don't mind, which I love it, incorporating the kind of games that I like. But I'm a big fan. I like to pick the controller up, beat 'em up, and there you go.
But yeah, I had a lot of fun with them. Definitely gonna rent it when it comes out. But now
I may buy it.
You would. If you buy it, shit, I'll bum it off you.
Well, we're bumming off each other, but also, and I'll then go right into the Marvel vs. Capcom 3. You know, when I
yeah. Well, I guess wrapping up, I would think. Oh, no, no, I want to talk about Video Games Live after this in a second.
All right, cool.
So, fuck it, I don't care how long this is. We finally got over in Microsoft, we got over to Marvel's Capcom 3, which I played on the Fight Sticks earlier, the arcade sticks, the first day. So this is my first chance playing on the 360 controller, which I'll be playing when it comes out, you know, at home. And it plays the same as Marvel's Capcom 2, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's some characters are different. Their movesets have changed. I think you noticed that.
I did, yes.
Yeah. Like, it's not really much of a button masher anymore.
Yeah.
They changed it a little bit. It's more like the Capcom versus the game you have for the Wii.
Which I know, which I love. I love that game, and I can't quite get the name correctly. But
Tetsuko something.
Tetsuko. Oh my god, we're so
who fucking knows. It's
Capcom versus Tetsuko.
Whatever. Testicles. Anyway.
Capcom versus testicles.
There you go. That game they use kind of the same control scheme, or as I was told they did. But honestly, it's weird. Some characters played the same for more, like Captain America. I can play like a beast with Captain America on
Tatsunoko. Tatsunoko.
Okay, Tatsunoko
versus Capcom.
God fucking damn! You got to interrupt every time I'm talking.
No, I'm just saying this is it. It's a phenomenal game. It's really.
It's fun. Cool. Fun. Yeah. If you're a fan of Marvel vs. Capcom,
I'm glad I got it.
Good. Yeah. We didn't get Zero though. We need to work on that. Anyway. So the controls were same for some people, like Captain America. He was fine. But other characters like Wolverine were changed, and it may be just because it's a demo and they're not done with the moves yet, but it definitely felt like some things were missing in some of the movesets.
Right.
From the returning characters. And Deadpool, because I talked to the guy, and the guy said Deadpool wasn't completed yet.
Really?
So,
this game is still under construction.
Oh, they got time, dude. Yeah, it's still under construction as we speak.
When's the release date for this game?
I don't know. Right off the top of my head. So, I look on GameSpot or something. I don't know.
Go to GameSpot, people.
Yeah. So, but it was fun. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was good. It was good times. You know, the graphics, I mean, I would say are very different from, like, the second.
I love the fucking graphics. Iron Man doesn't look like a piece of shit anymore.
I like the comic book. It's
my.
The kind of the different shell shading.
The only thing I didn't like about Marvel vs. Capcom 2 were the graphics. For some of the characters. Some of them looked fine. Some of them looked like complete
I like the comic shit. The comic book look.
No.
Like Convert. I like that. I don't know. Like, you know, where it's not all about the graphics, about the gameplay, where it's like a balance. And I think that's what made, you know, these games, these, you know, Capcom versus or Marvel versus, you know, there was a balance of graphics and gameplay and, you know, character design and everything. And I think that's what made it, that's why these games are still, you know, around.
I like the old graphics, but the new ones are much better improvement.
I agree. And hopefully it won't be much of a compromise with the new stuff. Well, I didn't feel much of a compromise, and I loved it. I thought it was great. You know, GoldenEye for the Wii.
Well, it's basically the same thing. I mean, they only changed a couple things.
Well, obviously Daniel Craig.
Craig is now playing James Bond in it, which is going to be interesting. But basically, from what I hear, it's the same. Otherwise, I played it. It plays, like, they changed the controls around to more of, like, modern-day first-person shooters.
Right.
Which is fine. I mean, it helps. And, it plays just like it did. It was fun. I mean, the person I was playing against chose Odd Job.
Right.
And when you're Odd Job, if you don't know in the films, he is known for throwing his hat and decapitating people. He's like an assassin. So you play him in that, you get unlimited hats to throw. So the person I was playing against just constantly threw a fucking hat at me and kept killing me. So I was kind of
kills?
Well, if you hit anywhere like on the chest or neck, it's like a fucking instant kill.
Really?
Yeah, it's bullshit. Huh. So, anyone who plays Odd Job, you're an asshole. One part I was walking up some stairs and I got a fucking hat in my face immediately. It's funny. It was funny, though. It's a fun game. I'm looking forward to it.
The infamous golden gun available?
I don't know. It was a demo.
The demo?
These were all demos at E3, usually.
They weren't the actual. Well, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Twisted Metal was a lot of fun. I like that.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. Yeah. I was a little embarrassed at the beginning because I noticed that there was like a moderator who kind of like...
A hype man who was very...
Hype man, yeah, yeah. Who also kind of helped you out, like, hey, try this out, you know, like, or like player three or a guy in the, you know, top left-hand corner, you know, hit this to power up, that to power up, hit that to launch your, you know, and I eventually got the hang of it. That's actually a game that I would, I would have fun with, you know, so, you know, I don't have a PS3, so I would have to.
But wrapping up on E3, what was your overall impression of E3?
I wish I had more time. I guess with my time constraints, I wasn't able to, you know, I mean, I got to enjoy most of the things that I had set out to want to see. I didn't see the 3DS. I wanted to see it, but it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. There were more. I wish I had another day to kind of, you know, get the, because I feel like I was in more of like an exploratory mode, mm-hmm. and kind of like just to delve into it and start just, you know, playing stuff. So I think next year, you know, if I'm able to, I'd love to try it out maybe for two or maybe the whole span of that week. You know,
yeah, yeah. You know? Just getting lost took a big chunk of our fucking time.
Yeah, I try to look at it. Next time, I recommend charging your phone.
Yeah, well, I didn't have my phone charged the night before, so, you know, fuck you. Real quickly, let me go over Video Games Live, because I got to see that. Well, that was amazing. But
my wife is a big classical music fan, and she, both her and I, are kind of upset that, I mean, you know, it is.
Well, tell her to listen to this, and I'll be seeing you guys tomorrow. So, you know.
They want our listeners.
Well, listeners don't know when, like, yeah, from whenever they listen to this, it would already have happened. So you're listening to the past right now. Mm-hmm. So anyway, for those who don't know, Video Games Live is basically a live symphony orchestra playing video game music. That's it. That's all. That's the setup. And it's fucking brilliant. A brilliant idea. And it was done a few years ago, but it was co-created by this guy named Tommy Tallarico. Do you remember him?
Yes.
Yes.
He hosted the show X-Play? Not X-Play.
He used to be a host on G4.
Yeah, he I know.
But he started out, he's a sound composer for video games. Music composer. He did the score for Earthworm Jim. He took credit for it even though someone else had did the work, basically. So he's kind of notorious in the gaming community. But it was co-created by him, so you gotta give him credit for that. So there's a little pre-story going into it. At the end of the night, me and my friends who I work with who came to us to E3, we were all going, and we needed to kind of find something to do in the meantime because the show was at 8.
At that point, it was like 3 o'clock.
At E3 ended at 5.
Oh.
So we needed to find time to kill, obviously. Problem is, everything was crazy in our side of town because of the fucking NBA Finals.
Right.
So everything was crazy. The Staples Center, like you mentioned, was right there. We came outside, and of course, Laker fans everywhere, you know, which isn't a problem. It was just very crazy.
We got nothing. The football podcast has nothing against.
No, we have, yeah, whatever.
you're like, well, yeah.
I don't care. Anyway, we're walking around. We're thinking, well, what are we gonna do? My one friend Andrew, who was there, he's like, let's go get drunk, or let's go drink, or I want to go find a drink. So that was basically his motivation. So we're walking around, wandering. We really weren't that hungry. None of us really wanted to drink other than him.
Your $8 burger.
After my fucking $9 burger.
Uh-huh.
But at least it's a burger, so there's more than 3 pieces of fucking chicken. Anyway. We were wandering around, and we found this building that kind of looks like a bar on the inside, or like a little lounge area where you can sit down. So we're like, all right. So we head in, and there's a mass of fucking people watching the Lakers game on the TV.
Oh, man.
Like, near the bar and the sitting area. So there's a sitting area off on the other side of the TV, kind of secluded and quiet. So we sit down over there discussing what we're going to do, and it just turned into a big bullshit session that lasted basically the entirety of the time.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. We were there the entire time. But it was funny because the people watching the game, like, you would hear when the game started, people would be, like, screaming, and then be like, boo, screaming, and boo, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ah, boo, yeah.
There's a bar that my wife and I go to down the street from our place.
Yeah.
We check out, we usually watch the game, you know what I mean? And you see, like, I just, more or less, like, the people watching. I mean, I enjoy the game. I enjoy, you know, check out the finals this year. I thought it was, that was great.
For me, next year, if the Lakers are in the NBA Finals, I think me and my girlfriend are going to schedule a vacation away from Los Angeles just to get away from the madness.
Well, you know, you can choose to stay away from it. You know,
yeah, I can choose to stay away from it by going to another fucking state.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah.
You don't set
shit on fire whenever their Canadian team wins hockey.
Well, no, but there were no real big things going on this year. I remember last year when they had won the finals, there were a little bit of...
Well, I'll tell you,
let
me continue my story, and then I'll get to the prologue, which will have some of that. Anyway, so we're in this area, and we're wondering where we are. We think it's a hotel, because there's no wording at all or a logo telling us where we are. So we're just kind of wondering to ourselves, where the fuck are we exactly? And then eventually they started, like, sectioning off the door because I guess too many people were coming in. So now they were saying guest only. So we figured – we deducted it was a hotel. But we were inside, so no one even gave us a second glance. And I think they thought we worked at E3 because we had our lanyards on, so they didn't even fucking bother us. So we decided about when it got closer to the show that, okay, let's head out of here because – you know, it's almost time, and we want to go find... We were meeting up with another person that I work with who was going to meet us there. So we go outside, and we meet up with the person, and there are already people going in to sit down at the Nokia Theater. That's where Video Games Labs was. So we're talking and talking, and I look ahead of me, and I see, like, someone who looks familiar. Like, I know this person. Their back is turned to me, but it was just... something about their features that were like, that looks very familiar. And the person turns to the side, and I see it's Jamie Lee Curtis. And I'm like, oh, that's fucking interesting. Like, why is Jamie Lee Curtis? And I thought she was there for the Laker game, but she went into the theater. So I'm like, oh, she's here to see this. And then behind her was Christopher Guest. Her husband, who I guess they brought their children to come see the show. Because as we were coming in, he was behind us. And there was a cosplay competition at the beginning of the show, and there was a Princess Peach, and Jamie Lee Curtis walked right up to Princess Peach and started talking to her and, like, having fun with her and shit. And Christopher Guest, who was behind us while that was happening, was like, oh, that's Princess Peach over there. And then the kid was, like, explaining, you know, who Princess Peach was and stuff. Very surreal, you know.
You actually spoke to Christopher Guest?
No, I did not. I did not. Like, he was with his family. I'm not going to do anything.
No. But, it sounded like you guys were, you know, all waiting in for something. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, it was kind of cool that knowing they were into this, or at least, you know, they were going to see the same thing I was. It was kind of cool.
That's kind of cool. Man, I
you missed out. Like, yeah, because
Christopher Guest, man. I mean, I'm even a bit tempted to, I would have been like, hey, you know,
well, we didn't even walk up to the Angry Video Fuck Game Nerd.
We failed to mention that. We saw the Angry Video Game
Nerd. Well, we saw a bunch of people from thatguyoutoftheglasses.com.
But that's it. We saw the nerd. I mean, that was
Spoonie, I would have liked to gone up to, you know, say hi.
That was pretty fun.
But anyway, besides the point. So we get in, and it is a fucking beautiful theater. Nokia Live, the LA Live Theater there, is amazing. They had a beautiful setup. And it was just an amazing show. I'm not going to break it down and talk about every single aspect of it, but, it was a fucking, if you get an opportunity, please go see it. There's actually going to be, I'm going to tell you, John, on the PBS, you don't have cable though, but find someone who does have cable. On July 31st, there's going to be a PBS special of, Video Games Live. They're going to air the entire concert.
Oh, maybe there'll be something. I'll find it. I'll figure
it. I'm sure there's a DVD. There's an album that's out, I think. Right now, that you can find on Amazon. I'm pretty sure, if you look it up. You can find the album, and it's beautiful. Like, I relived my childhood many times over that night. They played, they did music from Mega Man, which is awesome. They did Castlevania. They did...
the main theme from the NES Castlevania?
All of them, like, the entire series. They did Zelda, of course, Mario... they had the guy. You remember Snake Eater?
Oh yeah.
How the intro was like that old school Bond film, like
yeah, they had someone
did that. Out. Yeah, the guy actually the composer from Metal Gear was there, and he played saxophone to that song. It was fucking awesome. The live Guitar Hero thing was kind of cool. They had someone come on stage and play Guitar Hero with the symphony, and like Tommy Tallarico, who's a guitarist, he was like playing rhythm guitar, and then like the creator of Silent Hill was there. I think it was composer-creator of Silent Hill.
Right.
He was playing like a fucking black metal axe, like a Metallica axe. It was doing the theme from Silent Hill 2. That guy was fucking... It's weird seeing a Japanese guy like rock out to metal. Like, it was very odd.
Why is that odd?
No, it's just I don't know a lot of...
You don't have much experience with Japanese metal.
There is Japanese metal, yeah. I just don't see
it. You don't have much experience with Japanese metal.
Yeah. Like, I never saw it live, so it was very surreal. And a very, very... just a very cool evening. It was so fucking fun.
How long was it?
It started at 8, got out around 11, so 2 hours.
Wow. Yeah. That seems pretty cool. Like, we had the opportunity, but at that point, the pricing and the seating didn't really match up.
There were tons of fucking open seats. I mean, it wasn't sold out, but it, you know.
But it was expensive. For the seats that were available, they were really expensive.
It was about 4,000, I think, that were in attendance that night.
Oh, but still. But, nice little open venue. Nice.
But amazing. If you get the chance, please go see Video Games Live in your look them up online. Go to Video Games, look up Video Games Live in Google or something, and
YouTube,
check out
the videos. Check out the
YouTube. Stuff. There are some videos on YouTube, which, you know, that doesn't give real credit to the Symphony and the hard work they do. But if you get an opportunity, if you're a fan of video games, of growing up with them in our generation, you know, if you want to hear the theme from Mega Man 2, fucking done so well, it makes you cry almost. Then
Did you cry?
No, no. I definitely had an emotional response, though. Like, I definitely, it was amazing. Yeah.
I think I would have been there, like, on the verge of tears. You were close, right? You were on the verge of
tears. No, I was on the verge of fucking tears. I don't know.
It moved you, but it didn't.
It moved me, yeah, emotionally. I wasn't fucking about to cry, though. I mean, it was just very, very, very satisfying. And, you know, that sense that, you know, it connected with me in my childhood, basically. So, yeah. It was very nice. But then, it was like a complete tonal shift once we got outside. Because it was fucking, anyone who knows, like, L.A., downtown L.A. was like a riot zone that night when the Lakers won Game 7. We got outside and there was fucking just streets and streets of police. Like, wow. Tons of cops, helicopters. It was like the zombie apocalypse, basically. Had come to fruition, and we were about to be devoured. Luckily, we got away from all that shit. We weren't actually near the riot.
You fashioned a school bus.
We fashioned a school bus.
Fortified it with metal and barbed wire. And
all the Dawn of the Dead, the new Dawn of the Dead, I think. And yeah, no, we got out of there, but it was fucking crazy. But it that couldn't damper the high I was on.
Really?
Video Games Live. It was amazing. So yeah. Wow. But yeah, I think that's it. I think we're done. Talking.
I mean, yeah, I'm satisfied. I think I got what I needed to get out. You know,
yeah.
I think that Nintendo has got some really good stuff on the way. The Kinect, I'm willing to give it a shot. I mean,
I can vouch for it. It was fun.
You're gonna get it. I'm gonna try it. You know, and how much they run?
It's gonna be $149.99, I believe.
Oh, that's excellent.
Or that's tentative.
Okay. I think they'll cap it off at 200.
Well, because the move's gonna be like 100, I think.
Oh, man.
Or like 105. So they might bring the price down for Kinect, maybe $10. You know what final price I can estimate? You know what my estimate's going to be?
What?
About $130.
But this is the Price is Right E3 edition?
Yeah, basically. I think $130 is going
to
be.
$130? They're going to drop it down to that. Wow.
I think it'll be $129.99.
Oh, I'll get that.
Yeah. I think that will be the final price for the Kinect.
And it's the one unit. The Kinect doesn't have like an infrared. I mean, it's all one unit.
Yeah, it's all one thing. You just plug it right into. Well, for the older consoles that aren't the new Xbox 360s, I think it comes with like a little adapter.
I see.
But still, it'll plug into old Xboxes, and there you go. You're ready to go.
Did you hear about what happened at the Xbox, the Microsoft conference? Everybody who was in attendance.
I saw it.
Got a new Xbox.
I know.
I thought that was
fucked up.
Insane. Yeah, it's fucked up, but incredible. But yeah, but overall, it was an amazing experience, and
it was fun.
Do it next year.
I'm looking forward to next year. If you were at E3 and want to share your experiences, send us emails at contact@fourthwall@yahoo.com. Or if you have any questions about the games that we checked out there, or if you have any other topics you want us to discuss on Sidecast, because this is like our open forum section of the site. You know, please send us your word over at contact@fourthwall@yahoo.com. We love reading your guys' emails, so just keep them coming. You can check out the main site, breaktheforthwall.com, or like I mentioned before, I have my written E3 articles, which by the time of this, the first one's up. Hopefully the second one will be up. I don't know. But, I can't put a concrete date on it, but it will be up very soon if it's not up already. So yeah, breakthefourthwall.com. Also check out our previous weekly podcast and special editions and interviews. There's a new interview with Steve Niles, John.
Oh, very nice.
Site. Yeah, okay. Freddie did an interview with Steve Niles. So there you go. Check it out, breakthefourthwall.com.
Check that out, yes.
On Facebook, you can like us, which is I hate that they took away the fan shit. That was so much better. But anyway,
now you can just like things.
You just like shit. So stupid. But if you want to like the Fourth Wall on Facebook, just look up the Fourth Wall podcast, Fourth Wall. You'll see the 4WP logo. Click on that. Like us. We try to update it as much as humanly possible. And keep your eyes there, especially for Comic-Con. Because when we get breaking news, like, immediately, we're probably going to put it on Facebook right away. So you'll be the first to know. Like, if we get some big shit, it will be right there on the Facebook. So go to Facebook.com and like us. You'll be in the loop then. And, of course, you can subscribe to us via iTunes. If you do leave a review, we like reading our own reviews. It makes us feel better. So do that. But, yeah, that about wraps it up for this sidecast. Thanks, John, for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me, bro.
Once again, I'm Jesse.
I'm John.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.